Well, good morning, everyone. I sure hope you're doing well. I think you all are going to be in for a treat this morning. I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but for once, you're not going to have to listen to me mostly today, and that's a good thing. Second of all, you're going to get to hear a story from two very good friends of ours of how God has been using them in the country of Haiti. Luberto and Nataleth have been friends of ours for, I guess, over 20 years now. They are both from Puerto Rico as well. I'm going to let them, yes, represent. Luberto was a member at the church that Mari was in when I met her. I ended up going to that church as well because I know what I'm doing when I met my future wife. Right? And so that's where I met Luberto. Then he met Nataleth at some point, and they decided to get married. And they're wonderful people, very good friends of ours. Going back to that time, one of the first things that I remember being impacted by when I met them is that they took a calling, a challenge, to be missionaries to the country of Haiti. And at that time in my life, at least, they were the very first missionaries I personally knew, at least the types of missionaries that would go to a country where it was not going to be easy, right? It wasn't a temporary missions trip, which is what I had known up until then. They were actually going to move to Haiti, to a place where there was no running water, no electricity. You know, they were going to live a primitive life and try to help the local church. And that was my first time ever meeting people like that. And so I was already blessed by their commitment at that time. And I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I just wanted to give you a little introduction to where our relationship started and how the Lord started their path. I'm going to let them come to the front and share their story of how the Lord most recently has been using them in that same area. The reason this has been very impactful for me is because, quite honestly, the last year has been difficult for me in the sense that it's been hard for me to see God's hand in our life. We all go through those periods. You're going, you know, you're grinding it out. You're doing the work. You know that your relationship with the Lord is fine. There's nothing really going on that you could describe as really bad. But for whatever reason, it's hard to see evidences of the Lord's work and to be able to clearly articulate how he's working. That's the process that I've gone through the last year. But in that process, the Lord has blessed me tremendously through their story and what he's doing, because that has been to me a clear instance of God working and doing something. And that has been an inspiration to me. Hopefully it will be an inspiration to you all to hear the story of what the Lord is doing through this wonderful couple in Haiti.
Ah, pero está grabando.
Esto está grabando. Esto es para la.
So whatever we say will be recorded.
Vente aquí conmigo.
I brought her as my security blanket. Wow, that's quite an introduction. This is a very short version of a very long story. Initially, Danny told me 3 minutes, and then he said, you can take the whole time if you want, and I was like, don't do that. Danny first asked me if because he heard the story of what's going on, and he wanted to kind of put it together with what he's teaching in this series, right? And I didn't want to pull it by the hairs, and so we found a point of tangency. Did I say that right? A point. She teaches math. It's okay. So I found a point of tangency between the two things. It's a very small one, so that it kind of proves that it's really not much about Old Testament backgrounds in what I'm going to say, but there's a verse in scripture that we both mentioned, and we said, like, aha, okay, that's the verse, and it's in Luke 24, yeah. 32, I think it is, where, you know, on that road to Emmaus, where when Jesus disappears, they talk to each other, the two disciples who were had been with him, and they say, "Wow, weren't our hearts burning inside when he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And perhaps that's the only thing between what he will continue teaching and what I'm going to say that we get together. But the reason I mentioned that is because the experience that we're having right now with Haiti is totally related to the scriptures and totally related to studying the scriptures and totally related to being trained in the scriptures to being discipled and then move forward and teaching it to others. So I'll just go ahead and read it. I wrote it because there's a lot of stuff that I'm not going to be able to say, so I'll just go ahead and read this. So bear with me. I'm gonna read, and maybe I'll make some notes on the way. My wife and I, Natalette, were missionaries in Haiti from 2005 to 2006, a very short time, helping a young church develop their ministry. That's what we went there to do, to help a very young church, had been established for about maybe 3 or 4 years, help them develop their ministry. They had about 75 members at that time when we got there, and no church building. They rented a shack. Just to say something, you know, they rented a shack. That's where they met. When we left about a year and a half later of living there with them, the church had 150 members. We had helped them build half of the church building. It didn't have a roof yet. We had helped them build a school for 300 students. And yeah, you know, we had help with some discipleship, preaching. And we went back. We hadn't gone back. I kept going back and forth until 2013, before and after the earthquake. She hadn't had a chance to the opportunity to go back after we went back to Puerto Rico. But I had been able to go back with doctors, VBSs, small groups for different things. When the earthquake hit, immediately we went with some doctors. Then after that, we went with teams to build houses for people who had been displaced. But in 2013, that was the end of my participation there. So it was a period of about 10 years for me going back and forth to Haiti, doing stuff there. And since 2013, we didn't have any direct contact with them. We had heard about things that had been going on, how the church had grown, things that were happening, good things, but we didn't have any contact, direct contact with the pastor, until last November. By last November, believe me, we were not thinking of going back to Haiti or working with Haiti or being involved with Haiti. Haiti has always been in our hearts and in our minds, and even at times to a very uncomfortable way that I have even told, I don't know, Natalie, I've told God at points, help me forget about it. Help me forget the language. Help me get this off my heart, you know. It's like that old girlfriend, you know, or something like that. you know, you just want to move on and not think about this thing that was very heavy in your heart for such a important period in your life, and I it never went away. It was there, but you know, in November, last November, I received a call from the pastor of the church asking me if I could go to preach in their 24th anniversary, and because of other things, other parts of the story that I'm not going to mention, at that point when they called me in November to ask me, I said yes immediately. It was like, yes, this is what God wants me to do. So last January, I went for a weekend to preach at their 24th anniversary. And it was awesome. I was amazed seeing the church currently, that local church, over 500 members. They did put a roof, and then they do have a roof, and not only that, they that roof was torn off by some hurricane, and then they built it up again, and they have more room now. The capacity for the building is probably going to be very soon about for 1,000 people, and they know that they feel confident that they're going to fill it. But they have over 500 members in this church now. But that's not the most amazing thing. They have planted over 26 churches across northern Haiti and the mountains. And that's just part of it. Some of these churches are in the remote places where you only have access. You know, you get with your car to one point or your truck, and then you have to walk or go on horseback to get to the church. The school, which had about 300 students, now has over 1,000 students, and they have night school for adults. So they teach the adults to read and write. So, you know, they've become the community, which was an open field. This place wasn't really very inhabited in this part of the city. This is the city of Guanamint, which is a city in the border with the Dominican Republic. So for the Haitians, Guanamint, it's like a New York. There's a free trade zone, and people come here to work. There's work, there's money moving around, you know, there's opportunities. So people come from the countryside to live here. But for the Dominicans, Dajabon, which is the Dominican city next to it, right across the river, some Dominicans will never go to Dajabon for anything, unless they get lost. You know, it's very, very far away. But this is a very hustle and bustle city, and people come here. So the city has more than doubled in size in these 20 years, and that has helped also the church grow. But the community around the church has multiplied, people living there. Real estate has gone up. I didn't visualize how that was going to happen. We would have bought more land at that time. But really the impact of this, there's another group of missionaries related to us in a way that we had taken them for a weekend of surgeries. And I mean, these were hardcore guys, neurosurgeons and crazy people. And they would go there and do operations in a classroom, you know. And then they decided to build a clinic. So they build a clinic right next to the church, and, you know, so the clinic operates 24 hours. So all of that has made this community, everybody wants to live around this community. So the community has grown around the community, but the church and their ministry has become, has grown around them too. This community back then was a place where people would try not to go through or get close. It was very hot. It was a very, very hot place to go. Now it's a very beautiful place. People want to move in, want to move it to this community. It's changed because of the presence of the church and obviously because of the presence of God. So I went there. I was sitting, waiting to preach. It was the anniversary. So you can imagine that, you know, 24 churches planted. There were pastors sitting next to me. This is one of those churches where you're waiting to preach. Your pastors are there in the platform. And I was looking around, you know, surrounded by all these, humbled by all these men of God who were there waiting. Every choir from every church that was represented sang. So, you know, it was a long wait. And it gave me time to think about a lot of things and pray about a lot of things. It was a beautiful time. That particular time there meant a lot. And it's part of what's going on now. So as I'm sitting there waiting, I'm looking at these men. And this burden starts growing in my heart for this pastors, and questions about, you know, their training and, you know, how ready are they? What do they need for their ministry? Where are their churches? Well, you know, all of these questions. And I start praying for them. And I ask God, and then I feel like God is telling me, if you feel a heavy burden for them, imagine me. I call them. They're my pastors. You can't love them more than I love them, you know. So I came back to Puerto Rico. I came back to my house, talked to Natalie, told her about this, and we prayed about it. And soon we were able to identify, of all the many needs that are present there, all the opportunities for ministry, everything, you know, of all of that, we were able to narrow down two things that we could do to help, you know, that we felt heavy in our hearts that we could help. Mainly the biblical and theological training for the pastors, and also helping with the construction, the building of churches. I'm an architect, so that was heavy on my side too. So we decided to call the pastor and ask him, the pastor in Haiti, and ask him what he needed, what he thought about this. And he was very surprised what we were asking him. You know, we feel these two things. He says, that's exactly what we need. And he could have asked me for food, for money, for clothing, for medicines. I don't know. He could have asked me for so many things. But he said, our greatest need, my greatest need as the head pastor here is training for my pastors. I mean, they need training. So, you know, we felt that was a confirmation of that, what we were thinking. So we began to search for and vet materials and programs to train pastors in under similar circumstances, meaning they can't go to a traditional seminary. There's no access for them. There's no resources for them. There's not a library. There's the language barrier. I mean, there's so many different aspects. And this happens around the world. I've learned now that there's over 3 million pastors who are not trained around the world. And that's just a guesstimate, I think. You know, there's many, many pastors around the world who are not trained and need training. And there are many organizations helping with that. So we found one. It's called Bible Training Center for Pastors. And they're based in Georgia. And I went there, took a training. They train pastors around the world. With the minimum essentials that a seminary would offer, you know, hermeneutics, all the New Testament survey, homiletics, you know, there's 10 books, and they have very condensed seminary there in 10 books. So I got this training on how to implement it. The best thing about it was that I didn't have to go there as a missionary and stay there for a long time. And do this, but rather the goal, their main goal was for us to bring this to them, and that they could teach themselves and teach their pastors. So it was ideal for us in that sense. So I took the training. We went there in June. Natalie was able to go for the first time in all these years, and we took Marcus, our 16-year-old. So we went there. That was That's a story for another day. It was a week of challenge, one of the toughest trips we've ever taken, but one of the best. We would say really one of the best. So we took the material. The pastor identified 14 pastors that he wants to train, so that once those are trained, those will train others in other places. So that's already happening. They're meeting twice a week. They're going through hermeneutics. Once they finish that, they'll start the surveys, the Old Testament survey. The material is translated in Creole, which was also something that was very important for us. They also have it in French, but it's translated in Haitian Creole, which was amazing to find something already translated in that language. We found study Bibles in Haitian Creole through the internet. And somebody gave us an offering, and we bought enough Bibles. They're about $50 each. They're huge Bibles. We were able to purchase enough Bibles for all of them. We purchased the material. So that already started. That kicked off. They're going through that. Every week they're meeting twice, like I said. And it was they were so excited. I could see that burning in their hearts. That we know from Luke, I could see that in their hearts, that desire to study the scriptures, that the joy in their faces when they were able to see those study Bibles. And every week the pastor gives me a testimony of how things are going, how they're going through this study. The funny thing happened while being there, and this is perhaps the highlight of this, is that I met with the pastors while being there in that trip. We had like a small retreat the Saturday, and I was with the pastors, giving them the introduction to the seminary, to the program. And Natalie met with their wives. So she brought something to speak with them and share with them. So she was meeting separately with the wives, and we bought them a hymnal, in Creole, for each, and we bought them a perfume, and we thought that was the coolest thing, right? Perfume, and because they're women, you know. I just killed myself there. When they were done, they asked them, "Well, thank you for the perfume. Thank you for the hymnal. They were happy. They were grateful. They were happy and grateful, but then they said, "Where are our Bibles? Where's our study? Where's our Bible study?" And Natalie told me that we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem. And we looked at each other. We were like, "Wow, we didn't see this coming." You know. So we had used. When we were missionaries there originally, we had used a material that was translated into French by missionaries in Africa. We thought maybe this is a good fit for them. So we had talked to the pastor, and he agreed. So it's easier to get, cheaper in the sense that, you know, it's less costly, but we needed the Bible. So another funny thing happened. Somebody gave us an offering also, and we were able to buy Bibles for the wives, for the pastor's wives. And Natalie is meeting every Saturday. She's been doing it for what? A month and a half. For about a month and a half, she's been meeting every Saturday through WhatsApp?
FaceTime.
Through FaceTime. Okay. WhatsApp. With one of them. To teach her the first book of this series. And once she finishes that book, she'll teach a group of women. She's gonna teach a group of the other wives of the other pastors. And then, you know, the plan is for them to teach others later. But we didn't see that coming. And it's been such a blessing to be part of that. And also the other thing is we committed for a year to provide the funds for the building of one of the churches, and they started construction for that for about 300 people. We don't know what we're going to be doing next week or next month. This has been, we've been moving at God's speed, if you could say that. We've made a lot of mistakes in ministering Haiti before, and we're being very cautious to not repeat the same mistakes, because you get so passionate and you want to do so much and there's so many needs and you kind of lose track. So this time we've been like, you know, trying to wait and you know, whenever God provides, we move a step or two or three, whatever the case is, and it's more enjoyable and the fruit is clearer and God's glory, it's magnified, you know, and that's the whole point. So that's what we're doing. If you have any questions or anything, can we have them ask questions?
Absolutely.
Or anything? Yeah. So if you have any questions or anything?
Or does Natalie have anything in particular she wants to share about her experiences with the ladies?
I know it's been a blessing to be able to meet with this woman. Her name is Mimos. And it's fantastic how, I love how she prays. It just blesses me so much. It's a simple prayer that just recognizes God's, you know, holiness and his sovereignty and his love and his care for us. I'm sorry, I didn't. And maybe I could share two prayer requests if you let me. So the first one would be to that God would give them would continue to encourage them to continue studying the Bible and continue the training, not just the pastors but also the wives. By the way, the wives started to meet, we haven't finished the training yet for the women, but they wanted to meet to just study the Bibles and sing together and pray together. So they are really, really passionate about, you know, and committed to, you know, get themselves trained to serve in, to be better prepared to serve. So that's one petition, that's one prayer request, that God would continue to encourage them. It's all these hard circumstances that they live in, you know, that they won't get discouraged. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, Mimos works at a place that it's dangerous. It's not, it's a, how do you say, zona franca? How do you say zona franca?
Yeah, it's a free trade zone, so it's like a factory or a manufacturing place, but it's...
So it's like... from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. and she has little kids at home. She has to leave them, you know, when they go to school and whatnot. But it's harsh conditions, and sometimes they have like it's dangerous because the conditions are so bad that some people have been killed, and so others are not allowing them to come inside and work, and so they kind of like throw stuff, and then they.
There's no OSHA. Let's
very,
just say that.
Very, very, very dangerous. So I've been praying for God, you know, I've been praying to God that he would give her, she wants to have a small business at her house, so that she could just stay home, continue to get some income in, but not going over there. So that would be another prayer request to, that God would provide for that, for her to start her business in her house.
Are these mostly pastors that have another job? Are they mostly?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Aren't supporting them.
Yeah, no, the church doesn't have money to have staff, paid staff. So they do something else, and they have to do this too.
So it's on top of everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the senior pastor, which is the one we've been working for all this time, he's kind of on staff because his wife is from Puerto Rico, and she's a missionary, so she's on staff as a missionary, so that helps a lot. And but he's yeah, all his staff is voluntary, if you would say. Yeah.
Maybe I didn't understand the right
it,
the materials that the wives got, that was all in French, or is that also in Korean?
Yes.
It's a different material. Yeah.
It's a different material.
And it's only in French. Yeah. But they understand French.
They understand French. It's just that it's they can read it and understand it, but they can communicate it. So everything, the classes are in Creole, but the material is in French because they can read and understand it. They are educated in French. When they go to school, it's French that they get all their classes. So they... it's weird because you kind of like understand a language, but you can't speak it. I can relate to it. but it is, and sometimes it's kind of like, what does this question mean? And I would have to clarify what it means and whatnot. But yeah, like 95% of the material they understand. Yeah.
Okay. So their Bibles aren't study Bibles per se.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they are. The Bibles that were given to them, both the Creole and the French Bible, they are both study Bibles. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was a highlight, and we, because we had seen the Creole version of the Bible hasn't gone through the screening and all the process that our English and Spanish Bibles have gone through. So even the pastors would tell you, yeah, that Bible is, I'd rather have the French Bible because that, which is also has gone through more process, but yeah, the French Bible still needs a little bit work. But this latest version is, you know, it's the best one they have. And there's actually a study Bible with notes and stuff. So that was good to find that, yeah. But some of them also have, like the women are gonna have, the Bible that we are sending the women now, it's MacArthur's study Bible, and I think that, and it's in French, so So it's a French version of the MacArthur Study Bible. So that's a, you know, cool thing.
Oh. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, no, it's actually more like an ABC program. Teaches kind of like basics of Christian life. And so the idea is for them to be able to train the new Christians from the bottom up.
The reason I'm asking is, you know, the Amazing Collection.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You know, it's in French.
Oh, I didn't know.
One of our missionaries has translated it into French.
Oh, that would be, thank you for.
I'd be happy to try to facilitate.
Oh, yes.
I don't even know how to get it, but I'll contact her.
Thank you. Yes, that's a great idea. Wow. I was not expecting
that. Yeah, that's cool.
That's better than the Matthew that we were thinking.
Good.
I'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
Well, Pastor Jace and Hannah went through it and actually have taught it at every church they've ever been to.
Because we were thinking about the next book that would go after the ABC,
right,
is the study of the book of Matthew. But it's that is just one book.
Right.
A Bible study would be, and a whole Bible study would be much better, and, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me search it for you.
Okay, thank you, Cindy.
Yeah.
How do you raise your funds?
we grab it and we go like that.
We have no method to
do. So that's a great question, and I appreciate you asking. We like I said, we've been moving at God's speed. And what I mean by that is that we haven't done anything that the Lord hasn't provided for in the process. So, like, for instance, the first Bibles that we bought, the first batch of Bibles, I just called a friend in Puerto Rico who had helped us, Zulma, and just to tell her the testimony. I wasn't even calling her to ask her for money. I just said, I just want you to know we hadn't talked for a long time. I said, you won't believe what's happening. This is happening. And she said, well, I want to buy the first Bibles. And I'm like, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was like, that happened like that. When I went to Georgia, did I say that right? Georgia?
Georgia. Yeah.
For the training, we shared with a group from Kentucky, and they're doing something in Ethiopia. So they went there to get trained to do their thing in Ethiopia. And when they heard what we were doing in Haiti, the guy says, well, I want to buy you the Bibles for the rest of the group. So he gave me an offering, you know, for Bibles for the rest of the group. So we bought the Bibles for the rest of the group. Then we shared with a few friends chat that we have, and some said, well, I want to buy the material for the first book for the pastors. So that was about $150, and they said, okay, so there's books for the first book. We told our in-laws, and they said, well, we want to buy the second book. Okay, so we've been moving at that speed. We're putting from our money for the construction of the church. So every month we send them an offering to do that. So we're planning on doing that for a year. And if the Lord wants to provide for another church, then we'll take it from there. But we're not. We've had people asking us, you know, if they could bring, you know, give us money, and we've told them to hold that thought, you know, to put a pin on that. And here's why: it started getting bigger than we wanted to have in our hands without a formal organization or something. And we were talking about that yesterday, about, you know, would it be the time for a 501 or a 501c3, or would it be the time to, you know, because I've talked to Jace about it, and that's, he's praying about that. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes with Jace, and that's fine. You know, I'm waiting. I'm not in a hurry yet. but I don't want to move faster than necessary. I want to do things right, So we're not a nonprofit right now. So and this goes, this is a weird thought, but if anybody is thinking about that, just pray about it. Pray real hard and wait. We will let you know when anything happens that we, you know, we are on a position to ask for funds or ask people to participate financially. Right now, we're not asking for money. We're just moving at God's speed. Eventually, maybe we will. I mean, there are more projects in the pipeline that will require more money, and we are not. We're praying about it. I mean, it's. Because it's huge. It's some projects are very small. Some projects are huge, like long-term commitments and stuff like that. So we're just waiting. But thank you for the question.
Thank you. All
right.
Well, hopefully.
Hello. Uh-oh. Yeah, you gotta put it back. Thank you.
Hopefully you all were as blessed by that as I have been over the last 8 months. I think what I wanted us to consider is how the Lord might move us to do something different in our own life. I can't say what that is, but I think if we stay open to the Lord's leading, He may surprise us. I mean, Luberto and Nataleth back in November of last year were not considering doing anything in Haiti. They hadn't been thinking about Haiti for almost 10 years. Not specifically, right? Maybe, yes, praying for them, but not any type of involvement. And yet, look at what the Lord is doing right now. And so I just want to encourage us to, for the rest of this week, just pray for the mission in Haiti and what's happening over there, the pastors and their wives, and as they just ask for prayer, specific prayer. But also, let's just stay open in our own lives, in our jobs, wherever we are, to the Lord's leading, and to obey Him in doing things that aren't easy, but there might be tremendous blessing in it. And so let's pray. Does anybody here feel led to pray for the specific petitions that were mentioned? Okay. You can open us. I'll just close this up.
Okay. Father, thank you so much for the way you work.